What's up, everyone? Good morning and welcome to our Water's Edge online Sunday morning worship experience. Once again, thank you so very much for tuning in, hanging out with us today. For those of you that continue to like and share these online worship experiences with your circle of influence, thank you so very much for doing that. Continue to do that. We have people that's tuning in from all over the place, and we hope that they receive help for their soul, help for their heartache, and help to grow in their faith. So thank you so very much. Also, for those of you that continue to worship with us online through giving and generosity, maybe by meeting our new $10 challenge, thank you so very much for doing that. Continue to do that. You allow us to help more people, love more people, feed more people, and serve more people, and shelter more people. So thank you so very much for doing that. So welcome this morning. Grace and peace. 2,000 years ago, when the early church was first starting, they were facing major adversity and harsh persecution. They were being attacked and scattered, attacked for their faith and scattered all over the world. And at one time, they were all getting together in the same place before they really scattered out into the rest of the world. And they were praying together and they were worshiping together and they were asking God to give them courage, courage to face their giants, courage to face their battles, courage to face their struggles and their storms, courage to face their fears and their anxieties and their worries, and courage to face this major adversity. And as they're all praying together, again, notice what happens. This has been our foundational verse for this series as we lead on up to Easter, Acts chapter 4, verse 31. After this prayer, the meeting place shook and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they all preached the word of God with boldness. They worshiped God so hard together. They prayed and connected with God so intimately together that they literally saw the earth shake, which means they saw God do something that was absolutely unforgettable. Now, as we go on today in this series, let me just remind you of some powerful lessons that we've already learned in this study. For instance, and remember this today, the first thing that we've pointed out is this, that the voices that I let consume my mind will one day control my entire life. And how true is this? If I let the voices of my struggles and the voices of my defeats consume my mind, then one day those very same voices are going to dictate and control where my life ends up. That's why we have to give our life over to worship, and we have to fill our mind with worship and our heart with worship and our soul with worship, because that allows the voice of Jesus to get louder and to be amplified in our soul. And when the voice of Jesus fills your mind and consumes your mind, then that's the voice that determines where your life ends up. The next lesson that we learned in this series is this: courage is necessary when you're facing personal adversity, and worship gives us courage. This is what the early church experienced when they worshiped God together. Their faith got amplified and stronger together. Their joy got amplified and stronger together. Their endurance got amplified and stronger together. Their courage and their boldness got amplified and stronger together. Because anytime you make a major life decision or face a major adversity, you need courage to make those decisions and you need courage to face those adversities, and worship gives us courage. The next lesson that we've learned in this series is this: if you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. That you are not what regret says you are, but you are who God says you are. You are not held back by the limitations of your past. You are not held back by the limitations of your shame and your guilt and your regret. When we worship, we discover that we are brand new in Jesus, completely forgiven, and there's no limitations based off of our past and our guilt and our shame. And then last week we talked about this, and notice this today: what you fear and worry about the most often reveals where you trust God the least. God knows you. God knows every single detail of your life. God knows every single inch of your imagination. And God considers your life more valuable than all the stars in the universe, billions and billions of stars that He's given a name and a number to, all of them. And He considers your life more valuable. In fact, the psalmist says that we can't even count the precious thoughts that God has towards us. The precious thoughts that God has towards us outnumber all the grains of sand and all the beaches all over the world. And when we worship God, we realize this over and over and over again, that God loves us and that we can trust God. Do you know how comforting and peaceful it is to hear the same rhythm over and over and over again. It's almost like when it's raining and storming outside for a few hours and you hear that same rhythm of the rain just hitting your roof and it just raining outside and you hear that same rhythm over and over and over again. It's almost like it brings a sense of comfort and stability and security to your soul to the point where you can say, hey man, I feel like taking a nap and resting. I feel so much comfort and stability from the constant rhythm of the storm outside hitting my roof that it allows me to rest. Or have you ever been on vacation and you found yourself at rest and at peace and you felt a sense of comfort and stability as you're laying in the shade and you keep hearing the ocean waves crash over and over again into the shore, and there's something about that constant rhythm of those waves crashing into the shore and that same noise and that same rhythm happening over and over and over again. There's something about that stability and that rhythm that allows you to think and say, man, laying in this shade, I'm at complete rest. I feel comfort. Or at night, when it's time to go to bed, and we all have that certain fan that we have to turn on that has that certain rhythm and that certain noise that just plays over and over and over again as you're laying down to go to sleep. And that rhythm creates this sense of comfort because it creates this sense of constant stability to the point where it allows you to rest. Now, I want you to understand something. We all have that desire and that longing on the inside of us. We all have that craving and that thirst on the inside of us to feel accepted and to feel loved and to feel stable and secure and safe in this life. We all want peace. We all want to feel security. We all want to feel stability. We all want to feel safety. We crave it. We have a hunger for it. We have a need for it. This is why as disciples, when we worship, we can feel this sense of peace and comfort flow over us, because when we place ourselves in atmospheres of worship, real worship in our mind, real worship in our heart, and real worship in our soul, and when worship surrounds us, this is what it does. It produces this constant rhythm of grace that just pours over us and rains over us. When we constantly worship, it produces this constant, stable rhythm of love that just pours over us and rains over us. This constant rhythm of peace, this constant rhythm of encouragement, this constant rhythm of forgiveness, this constant rhythm of assurance that just pours over us and rains over us. And this constant rhythm of worshiping God's Spirit and God's Spirit pouring love over our life and joy over our life and forgiveness over our life brings a sense of stability to our soul, and it helps us see the love of God, and the love of God makes us feel safe in our soul, and it brings a sense of assurance to our soul. This is what we experience when we worship God: a refuge in God's love, a sense of security in God's love, a sense of joy in God's love, a sense of comfort in God's love, a sense of peace in God's love, and a sense of rest in God's love. The unconditional love of God causes you and I to feel a sense of love and a sense of peace and a sense of security, because it assures us that God forgives us and accepts us and supports us even though we have downfalls, weaknesses, storms, adversities, and struggles. And this love is constant, and this love never lets us go. But where do we really see this rhythm of love, God's love and God's Spirit, pour over us? Where do we really experience this rhythm of mercy and joy and forgiveness pouring over us? Well, this is where we experience it, and we see it in the cross. The cross of Jesus Christ. The heart of Christianity is that the crucifixion of Jesus Christ and the cross of Jesus is the ultimate demonstration and the ultimate example of love. So the question becomes, what does this type of love teach us? What does this demonstration, what does this example of love teach you and I? Well, the first thing is this. So let's apply this to our life today. If you're still with me, say, I'm still with you. And notice this today. In the cross, we see selfless sacrifice, and we are all called to follow this example. The love that Jesus demonstrated on the cross was for you, and it was for me, and it was selfless, and it was a sacrifice. He willingly sacrificed himself. He willingly endured endure the suffering of the cross and the death of the cross for my sake and for your sake. Selfless sacrifice in our love for each other, our love for our brothers and sisters, and our love for the world, and our love for the broken, and our love for the hurting, and our love for the rejected, and our love for the marginalized should be the same way. We should practice selfless love and sacrificial love, where we put the hearts and the hurts of other people before our very own life. The next thing is this, and notice this today. In the cross, we see unconditional acceptance, and we're all called to follow this example. Despite my past, His love is unwavering. Despite my guilt, His love is unwavering. Despite my shame, despite my regret, despite my weaknesses, despite my failures, His love is unwavering. Despite my downfalls, His love is unwavering. And it will always be long-suffering, and His love will always be unwavering. His love is unconditional, and His acceptance is unconditional, and that's exactly how we should love and accept other people, unconditionally. The next thing is this, and notice this today, if you're still with me, say I'm still with you. In the cross, we see forgiveness demonstrated, and we are all called to follow this example. In the center of pure agony, Jesus forgave the people that crucified Him. The very people that produced His agony, He forgave them. And when our heart breaks, it's an agony. When we experience rejection, we're in agony. When we experience betrayal, we're in agony. When we experience hurt from other people, we're in agony. But if we're serious about following Jesus, we have to understand this, that we are never more like Jesus than when we forgive, and we are never more unlike Jesus than when we don't forgive. And so if we're serious about knowing Jesus and worshiping Jesus and following Jesus, then we must embrace this type of forgiveness. True forgiveness releases their guilt and your resentment, which is a burden and a cancer to our soul. When we worship, we experience the courage to practice radical acceptance and radical forgiveness. Next is this, and notice this today. In the cross, we see redemption and transformation, and we are all called to follow this example. Because of the cross, when Jesus looks at us, He doesn't see our past, He doesn't see our weaknesses, He doesn't see our downfalls. He saw two things on the cross and in His love. He saw possibility and potential. When Jesus looks at your past, this is what He sees: His blood, possibility, and potential. When Jesus looks at your scars, this is what He sees: His blood, possibility, and potential. When Jesus looks at your regret, this is what He sees. When He looks at your guilt, this is what He sees: His blood, possibility, and potential. Which is why we celebrate Easter, because when Jesus died on the cross, He didn't just die, but He rose from the dead. And this made transformation possible and life change possible. So when Jesus looks at us, He sees the possibility of new life and a changed life. And we should all see that in other people too. We should view all people through the lens of love, possibility, and potential. John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. So now I'm giving you a new commandment: love each other. Just as I have loved you, you should love each other. Your love for one another will prove to the world that you're my disciples. When we worship together, we don't see your past. We see your possibility. We see your potential because of the love of Jesus Christ. When we worship God, we don't see your guilt. We don't see your shame. We see your possibilities. We see your potential in the love of Jesus Christ. When we worship together, we don't see your regret. We don't see your scars. We see your possibility. We see your potential in the love of Jesus Christ. We love each other because He first loved us. They took Jesus. They tied His arms above His head, and they flogged Him. They tied those arms to a big wooden post, and they took the cat of nine tails, and they whipped Him over and over and over again. Most people bled to death and died when they got flogged by the Romans, but the Romans stopped just in time to nail Jesus to wood. They put nails in His hands into wood, and when they did, they crushed His median nerve. If you could imagine what that feels like, if you could imagine taking a pair of pliers and mutilating your funny bone, that's what Jesus felt when He put the nails in His hands. They put His feet on top of each other and put a spike through His feet. And for hours, He would have to pull Himself up and push Himself up on those spikes, and it would rip His skin until He finally suffocated and died. The cross shows you and I in a very powerful way the love of Jesus and the forgiveness of Jesus. Because right before Jesus died, he said, Father, forgive everybody. They don't know what they're doing. Jesus was willing to endure suffering and death for you and for me because he loves us. In the cross, we have new life and we have forgiveness. And when we realize that, how can we not worship? When we realize that we have a new forgiveness, how can we not worship? When we realize that we have a new life and a new joy and a new purpose and a new hope, how can we not worship? John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Hebrews 12, verses 1 through 2. Therefore, since we're surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily trips us up, and let us run with endurance the race God has set before us. We do this by keeping our eyes on Jesus. We run our race for God, and we finish our race for God by keeping our eyes on Jesus, by being worshipers of Jesus Christ. He's the champion who initiates and perfects our faith. Because of the joy awaiting him, his joy was you. He endured the cross. You are his joy. And because of you, he endured the cross, disregarding its shame. And now he's seated in the place of honor beside God's throne. Let's worship together today. Let's break our chains together today. And let's feel this constant rhythm of love and grace and mercy pour over us. And that gives us the strength to stand up and face our giants with endurance. Let's pray. After that, continue to stay tuned in for an amazing time of worship with the amazing Water's Edge worship team. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We absolutely love you, and we love each other because you loved us first. Thank you so very much for hanging out with us today. Thank you so very much for tuning in. We cannot wait to see you back next week. Now let's worship.